I'm David Knight for InfoWars Nightly News. It's October 26, 2012, and here are our top stories.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, the Frankenstorm is near. Is it the work of mad harp scientist? Then, police tase a teen in diabetic shock, and GMO disinformation eats away at Proposition 37. All that in Larry Pinkney.
This false, fake, fraudulent, left-right paradigm is nothing but a trap. It's a trap, particularly as embodied by the Democrat and Republican parties. It's like, please, wake up, people. This is the same game.
Coming up on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Our job here at InfoWars is kind of like that of a meteorologist. We warn you when conditions are dangerous. Well, right now, NOAA is warning us about a Frankenstorm. Not that NOAA, but the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Forecaster Jim Sisko has predicted a week-long 5- or 6-day event, an unusual mix of hurricane and winter storms, and it appears that it may have a profound effect on the presidential election, not just on people's ability to vote, but on election news coverage as well. So the question is this a geoengineering October surprise? Weather modification is a known fact and has been a subject of research for decades, but the question is whether weather control is now possible. Certainly governments believed it was not only possible, but it was imminent when they signed a UN agreement back in 1976. And 2 years ago, Andrei Ereshev of the Strategic Culture Foundation wrote that the climate weapons may be reaching their target capacity. He wrote about HAARP, but he was also alleged that the Pentagon's secret spaceship, the X-37B, carried laser weaponry that could be a key component in the Pentagon's climate change arsenal. And today, Popular Science reported on the work of Jerome Kasparian, a French physicist at the University of Geneva, who's been able to create rain using lasers in a cloud chamber. We have some video of that. It's subtitled because the video is Kasparian is French. The work is done in Geneva, Switzerland. But what he demonstrates here is in a cloud chamber, it's possible to get much more precise control of rain creation than it is with cloud seeding. So although governments have agreed not to use weather as a weapon, and they've been working on it for over 40 years, I'm sure that the timing of this storm is just a coincidence. But if you want to keep up on this, we'll be having updates throughout the weekend on InfoWars.com. We have several stories there right now, and they'll be updated as situations change. Now, if you recall last November, an Austin man who was having a seizure was tasered by police. It caused him to have permanent brain damage as well as a heart attack. This week, a Dallas-Fort Worth teenager was tasered by police. The incident was caught on tape, and the problem was after a car accident, the 19-year-old had a hypoglycemic incident. He was unable to respond to the policeman. But the policeman was not happy with that. He said, do you understand that I'm talking to you in the video? He says, answer my question, what's the matter with you? Step out of the vehicle, sir, provide me with your driver's license and insurance, or I will taser you. Here's the video, actually taken by the CBS affiliate.
Hey, you listen to me? Do you understand that I'm talking to you? Answer my question, what's the matter with you? Step out of the vehicle, sir. Provide me with your driver's license, your insurance, step out of the vehicle, I will taser you.
23 seconds later, he does, firing at the teenager once in the car and once on the ground. Emergency crews arrive. The officer finds out what was wrong.
Well, Murad actually is settled with the city for $5,000. That's the city of Claiborne. And for an agreement that police officers will be better trained in the future. But what if, instead of just training police officers, we took away the tasers that they use as electronic whips? Now, in another inappropriate use of police force, police arrested a 60-year-old woman speaking at a city council meeting in Riverside City Council in California. Karen Wright, 60, was initially handcuffed by two officers while she was on her knees. In the video of the incident, she can be heard yelling in pain as officers tried to raise her to her feet while she was handcuffed. And we have an excerpt from that video here as well.
This is video from the Riverside Press Enterprise. Karen Wright exceeded her 3-minute limit to speak to the city council Tuesday night. Right after that, she was arrested and taken out of city hall chambers. Wright was given a misdemeanor citation. Riverside Mayor Ron Loveridge said he's never seen somebody arrested for exceeding the 3-minute limit. He's been presiding over city council for 32 years.
Well, as the police use more and more force with less and less provocation, an appellate court has just upheld a ban on selling guns to 21-year-olds. Now, this goes back to a 1968 law that was challenged by the NRA. And in it, a unanimous 3-judge panel said that Congress, in a law dating from 1968, adopted the sales ban to help curb violent crime. It also said the nation's founders and 19th century courts and commentators believed that disarming specific groups did not trample on the right to bear arms. Well, there's several problems with leaving our rights to be determined by panels of judges. That's one of the reasons we have jury nullification. What really is going to happen in this country, if we're ever going to see our rights restored, it's going to happen through the work of individual juries who are going to one by one judge the law as well as the facts of the case. But these judges said that the founders of the country did not have problems withholding gun rights to certain individuals. Well, that's clearly not the case. What they said was people who did not have guns were slaves. And the one time in the 19th century that they're referring to, the laws that they're referring to, banning gun ownership by specific groups, those were laws against blacks owning guns. Do we really want to reenact that? I don't think so. People who are 21 years old, well, people who are 19 and 20, who under this law are not allowed to purchase guns, are people who are allowed and encouraged and trained to go to other countries and kill people as part of the military. The judges said that a rigorous review was appropriate because the law did not prevent 18 to 20-year-olds from using handguns for self-defense or other lawful purposes, and that people subjected to the ban, that is 18, 19, and 20-year-olds, would eventually surmount it by turning 21. Well, that's if they survive to 21. Well, if you caught the Wednesday radio program, you heard Alex Jones interview Bev Harris of blackboxvoting.org. Now, Bev Harris is an expert at election fraud and ways to catch it, many ways to cheat. But they discussed it in terms of the presidential election. Mike Adams asked a question in his article, are biotech GMO corporations plotting to steal the election on Prop 37? He points out that stealing elections is only really possible in close elections, and that's exactly what we've got with Prop 37 right now. It's very close in the polls. But he also points out that the No on 37 campaign has already been caught violating federal election law by fabricating fictitious FDA quotes. Ethan Hunt, in another article called Monsanto-funded No on 37 campaign fabricates FDA quotes and engages in criminal misconduct, points out, according to the California Right to Know campaign, which is working towards mandatory GMO labeling in the Golden State of California, No on 37 deliberately fabricated a quote insinuating that the FDA opposes GMO labeling. Now, the quote, which bears the official FDA logo, says, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration says a labeling policy like Prop 37 would be inherently misleading. Now, the problem is the FDA never actually made such a statement. A law prohibits the agency from taking such an official position on the matter. And since falsifying quotes and counterfeiting logos for campaign purposes directly violates Section 506 of the U.S. Criminal Code, Right to Know has notified the U.S. Department of Justice via letter that No on 37 has flagrantly violated the law. But besides falsifying FDA quotes, the GMO industry has tried from the very beginning to suppress information about the health effects of GMO food in our food supply. Going back to 1998, the very first scientist who reported on the health effects of GMO was summarily fired within 24 hours, and his team was disbanded. The article, Scientists That Discovered GMO Health Hazards Immediately Fired, Team Disbanded by Natural News, points out that though it barely received any media attention at the time, a renowned British biochemist who back in 1998 exposed the shocking truth about how genetically modified organisms cause organ damage, reproductive failure, digestive dysfunction, impaired immunity, and cancer, among many other conditions, was immediately fired from his job and the team of researchers who assisted him dismissed from their post within 24 hours of the time when the findings went public. Now, he was studying the effects of GMO potatoes, and he said that he recorded the alteration of different organs, shrinking of kidneys, changes in the liver and spleen, and the appearance of malignant parts in the tissues and kidney failure and hemorrhages in the intestine. Now, we just recently, just a few months ago, we had a French study that showed massive tumors on rats who were fed genetically modified food. But, of course, the GMO companies want you to believe that they oppose the labeling law and the truth in labeling law simply because they want to save you money. Yes, that's right. They want to save you money. And to help you save money, they're pointing out, as Melissa, they're spending $1 million a day, as Melissa Melton has pointed out in her article, that GMO companies just want to save you money. She says, the number one reason all of these companies and coalitions have spent over $35 million to defeat the labeling initiative is to save you money. According to the website, No on Prop 37, Stop the Deceptive Food Labeling Scheme, if GMO labeling is mandated, it will increase the average Californian's family grocery bills. And the site says, by forcing food products to be repackaged or remade with higher-priced ingredients, Prop 37 would cost the average California family up to $400 a year in higher grocery costs. Well, where is the logic in spending $35 million so you don't have, so customers don't have to spend an additional $400? The truth is that the labels will not change for an 18-month period. And during that time, most companies change their labels anyway. But I think we all agree that it's very important for us to understand truthfully what is really in our food. And that's what people are asking for in California. Well, that leads us to our quote for the day about secrets. Like sex in Victorian England, the reality of big business today is our big, dirty secret. That's Ralph Nader. That's right. We can't tell people what's in the food. Well, if you're watching this on YouTube, we'd like to ask you to please consider contributing and becoming a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. That and purchases of movies and products from InfoWarsShop.com all help to fund our operation. Well, that's it for me tonight. I'm out of here, but stay tuned after the break. Darren McBreen is going to be talking to Larry Pinkney, former Black Panther, about COINTELPRO. Thank you.
While we fight to retain our liberty, while we fight to expose globalism, we have to realize we're talking about a very powerful combination of power.
Renowned author and expert Joel Skousen breaks down the globalist plan to shut down America and stage a new world war.
In one day, America will go from day to night. And if you haven't prepared in advance, there's not enough time to prepare in 24 hours, even if you saw it that early.
Coming to the InfoWar in November is our new documentary film presentation.
Strategic relocation is a systematic way to think strategically in the future about how do I safeguard.
Joel Skousen, Strategic Relocation.
The freeways are going to be crowded. They're going to run out of gasoline. They're going to run out of food. And then they're going to start to go north and south of those freeways.
Joel Skousen is renowned as one of the world's foremost experts in strategic relocation and the securing of your home.
We talk about natural disasters, the health environment. We talk about pollution, the water quality. My personal experience about being in every one of these states.
Government is digging in for the organized, incremental collapse of society and world war.
The U.S. isn't building huge underground bases and bunkers because of some terrorist threat. They know that a massive nuclear attack is coming. They want that attack to come. Most people won't even be ready and won't be able to get out of town when any of these nuclear weapons fall. Because because there'll be absolute panic.
There is no preparedness without strategy.
What I tell people is that you do have time. Prepare wisely in advance.
This Christmas, give the gift of preparedness. Strategic Relocation, the film, with Joel Skousen and Alex Jones.
My friends, Alex Jones here with a very important announcement. We are launching a new salvo in the InfoWar because there is a war on for your mind. You know that the globalists are trying to get everybody online and only online so that they can control and surveil information and also erase books, videos, whatever they want to en masse. That's why we're launching our answer to the internet kill switch, InfoWars Magazine. The first issue, we printed over 90,000 copies of the September issue, and it sold out in less than 2 days. So get your copy of the new Technocratic Elite issue today before it sells out. Again, we cover from the technocratic social engineers' own words, their own admissions, their plan to take over our society and replace us with robots. But we don't just stop with the rise of the robots and the end of humanity, or will humanity survive the singularity? We get into the government buying now 1.6 billion bullets against the American people. We get into Big Sis's surveillance of this magazine and my website, InfoWars.com. We cover QE3 and what hyperinflation means to you and your family. Whatever you do, don't look back later and wish that you would have taken action. Take action now. People have never been more ready for this information. People have never been this hungry, starving for the truth. And it is contained in the new issue of InfoWars Magazine. This is a time capsule. It is so important to get it out to everyone. If you subscribe now for 12 issues, we will give you the first issue absolutely free. So that's 13 issues for our 13 colonies, part of restoring the spirit of 1776 worldwide.
Again, go to InfoWarsStore.com and order 10 packs, up to 100 packs, at cost, and give them out to people in your area. The response last month was incredible. People are hungry to actually hold this information in their hands. You can also subscribe and get 12 issues delivered to your door and get the first inaugural issue free. I'm Alex Jones, thanking all of you for your support and making our operation a huge success.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Darren McBreen, and tonight we're going to talk about COINTELPRO, which is an acronym for the counterintelligence program that was a series of covert and illegal projects that were carried out by the FBI under J. Edgar Hoover from 1956 to about 1971. Now, these were covert operations used against American citizens. Like the people involved in the civil rights movement, including Martin Luther King Jr., as well as black nationalist groups, the American Indian movement, the Black Panthers, and almost every group or organization protesting the Vietnam War. Their tactics were ruthless, to say the least. They included death threats, breaking into people's houses, smear campaigns, psychological warfare. They like to forge documents, plant false reports in the media. The use of violence was, of course, common, and so was intimidation, false imprisonment, you name it. And yes, these tactics also included assassinations. And perhaps we should title tonight's interview with our guest, "That Was Then, This Is Now, COINTELPRO 2012, or COINTELPRO Continues. because these types of operations, well, they've never really ended. They've just assumed different names, and they've expanded to include the multitude of U.S. intelligence agencies. If anything, COINTELPRO is probably worse now than it ever was. And that brings us to our next guest, who is here to help us break this all down. That is Larry Pinkney, and he is was a political prisoner and victim of COINTELPRO. He is a veteran of the Black Panther Party, former Minister of Interior of the Republic of Africa, and he authors the Keeping It Real column in the national publication, The Black Commentator. BlackCommentator.com is the website. Larry Pinkney, it's an honor to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Darren. Right back at you. It's an honor. Believe me, it is an honor to be on the program. And I want to say thank you to all of the viewing and listening audience.
Well, for those in our audience who might not be familiar with who you are, please tell us a little bit about yourself and what you know about COINTELPRO.
Well, in the nutshell, my background is that, as you mentioned, I'm a veteran of the Black Panther Party. I am a former Minister of Interior for the Republic of New Africa. I was a political prisoner for 10 years. I am the only quote-unquote American to have ever successfully self-authored my civil political human rights case to the United Nations. Not that it really mattered to the countries, even though I won the case. And as you also mentioned, I'm an editorial board member and columnist with Black Commentator, that's blackcommentator.com, and associate editor with Intrepid Report, which is intrepidreport.com. But most importantly, I try to continue keeping it real, to continue in this struggle, because we're living in some very, very serious times, my brother.
Well, I hear you, and you were a political prisoner for 10 years after being set up and framed, but you're not the only one. I mean, there were literally thousands of others who were victimized by this. Am I right?
You are absolutely correct, and I'm so glad you mentioned that, because the reality is that there were thousands, more like tens of thousands. Some people are unknown to this day. As you mentioned in your introduction, you know, people were murdered. They were set up in every vicious kind of fashion. People's families were used against them, their friends, quote unquote, their associates, quote unquote, were used to destroy them based upon what? Their political beliefs, based upon their principles. And you also mentioned, and I'm so glad you did, Darren, that this is going on today. The counterintelligence program has, in fact, morphed into things such as the NDAA, the so-called National Defense Authorization Act, which has a provision, as you well know, that says that American citizens, as well as anyone else, but U.S. citizens can be indefinitely imprisoned without charge, without trial, without judge, without jury. Oh, yes. This Barack Obama, war criminal president, signed the NDAA on December 31st, 2011, when he knew everybody, well, mostly everybody, would be sleeping. Nobody would pay attention to it. Then, of course, we have what? Either sleeping or partying. But then we have, of course, the kill list. Obama's infamous kill list, which says that anyone, including U.S. citizens, can be murdered at the will, essentially, of whom? None other than this war criminal president, Barack Obama. So what has happened is COINTELPRO, instead of destroying it like they should have, they simply made it, quote, legal. And so it's gotten worse. It's in, as you said earlier, the acronyms may have changed, but the reality, the horror of it, continues. And this is something that we, all of us, sisters and brothers, must understand, that the situation has intensified. But do not fear, because the power of the people is here if we can just wake up and organize. But go ahead, my brother. I'm sorry. I ranted.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. Actually, I was wanting to get your take as well on something that occurred earlier this week, and that was the fact that Mitt Romney's son was reported to have purchased the electronic voting machines in Ohio. And meanwhile, at the same time, we have Obama supporters who have been flooding Facebook and Twitter accounts saying that they are going to riot should Obama fail to secure a second term. And, you know, and I thought this had COINTELPRO written all over it as far as, let's say that Obama should lose the election, the powers to be could easily agent provocateur or set up some kind of false flag incident, fan the flames of rioting, if you would, and throughout any town USA or throughout the entire nation until ultimately we'd have massive civil unrest and they'd have the perfect excuse to declare martial law and then take one more giant leap forward toward the total police state, which has been their objective for many, many years. What are the chances of people rioting, you think, if Obama were to lose the election?
Well, first of all, I'm sad to say that I doubt that Obama will lose the election. I think they want to reinstall him because he's what I call perfect ghetto uprising insurance, if you get my drift. Ghetto uprising insurance. And he's a perfect Trojan horse for this avaricious Wall Street corporate elite. Now, but let me direct my answer to your question. If, in fact, Obama were to lose this election, which I call a C-election, because we're not really, no one's being elected. It's twiddly-dee and twiddly-dum. But the reality is that Barack Obama is in a position today where the government, and I say corporate government, because it's certainly not the people's government, is utilizing every kind of tactic that it can to frighten people, keep people disorganized. And as far as rioting goes, I remember saying this, I don't know if it was on this show or another show, but, you know, to riot, if we're going to have a riot, why don't they begin rioting in their own minds, wake their minds up and find out just what the hell is going on? You hit the nail right on the head, Darren, when you said this has COINTELPRO written all over it. It does. This is perfect agent provocateur kind of tactic.
Sure.
Agent provocateur. So we have to be aware of this. The corporate stream media is going to do and is doing, not is going to do, is engaging in every nefarious activity that it possibly can to keep people at each other's throats. Instead of people talking about rioting, they ought to be talking about, what in the hell do we have this NDAA signing, predator drone, warmongering, Wall Street puppet sitting in the White House doing more damage than George W. Bush ever could have dreamed of doing? And don't get me wrong, I was not a supporter of George W. Bush, but let's get real, okay? This man, in less than 4 years, has destroyed in the essence of what people who love justice and freedom, he's destroyed the essence, or tried to destroy, I should say, because he hasn't destroyed it, the essence of the people's struggle. And I'm talking about black, white, brown, red, and yellow people across the board. None of this division, none of this divisive nonsense. We got to come together. So, no. As far as getting back to the whole riot thing, that is what the CIA calls a balloon. They put a balloon up there, floating a balloon, you know what I mean? And then they see, what kind of reaction can we get? Can we get a bunch of fools to do this? Oh, wow, yeah, look at them. Fools, you know, idiots. But anyway, I'll stop right there.
Well, I agree with you, and like I said, the potential for civil unrest is there, and they could definitely, you know, people in the United States will riot if, you know, the Lakers win the championship or they're upset about a sporting event, a riot could start easily. You know, another group I was thinking that was targeted by COINTELPRO back in the day was the American Indian Movement.
Yep.
And, you know, we were all saddened by the loss of American icon, hero, legend, you name it, Russell Means, who tragically passed away over the weekend. And I noticed on blackcommentator.com on the website that you wrote a tribute to Russell Means. It's called A Tribute to Russell Means, Whose Spirit Shall Never Die. I encourage everyone to check that out. It is wonderfully written. And Russell Means was no stranger to the InfoWar. I mean, he's been on our program several times, our very own Rob Dew got to spend the day with him not very long ago, and the interview is available on the Alex Jones YouTube channel. In fact, we have a whole Russell Means tribute that we have uploaded on YouTube, so you know, everybody should check that out as well. But I, you know, tell us about the legacy that he left and the message that will continue because of the impact that he had on all of us.
Absolutely. To say that I love and respect Russell would be an understatement, truly. Russell Means was not merely, and I'm not saying it's certainly not important, but he was not only one of the leaders of the American Indian movement, but and the American Indian movement, by the way, as you noted, was in fact a target of the counterintelligence program. Proof of that is just look at the many indigenous people that were murdered, and look at a longtime political prisoner who's still a political prisoner, Leonard Peltier, who was also very much and directly involved with AIM, the American Indian Movement. Now, getting back to Russell, and as I wrote in my column, you know, in tribute to Russell Means, whose spirit shall never die, and it will not, I said that Russell represented courage. The corporate stream media did not like Russell Means. And anybody that the corporate stream media liked, you better be wary of. But they did not like Russell Means, because Russell Means spoke the truth. Whether we agreed on every single detail or not was absolutely irrelevant. He spoke the truth. He continued to talk about how this government is hypocritical, not just to indigenous native peoples, but to everybody, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people, everybody. Its policies are hypocritical and dangerous to everyday people. Okay, for example, this whole thing of terrorism. This terrorism is being carried out by whom? Our own government. Well, if you terrorize people, what are those people going to do? They're probably going to respond in kind, or I should say react in kind with what? With terrorism. So it's a cycle of violence and terror that this corporate government is responsible for. And Russell knew that. Russell talked about it, and he tied it in with the many, many treaties that were broken with the sisters and brothers of the indigenous native communities across this land, and even in Canada, not just in the United States.
Well, that's right. I mean, he certainly made an impact, and he's going to remain a positive influence for generations to come. And, man, we're certainly going to miss him.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to switch gears a little bit. I want to talk about the Black Panthers for a little bit, because I'm intrigued about, I want to hear about how it was formed and perhaps the role that you played in it.
Okay. The Black Panther Party, and I want to really again thank you and everyone at InfoWars, and especially the audience, because today happens to be a part of, today being October the 26th, happens to be a part of what we veterans of the party refer to as Black Panther Party History Month. Why? Because the Black Panther Party was founded in the month of October of 1966 in Oakland, California. Okay? It was founded, first of all, in an effort to combat the virulent police violence against poor people. And in this particular case, it was primarily poor Black Americans. But it's poor people across the board. And as I said, the party was founded in Oakland, California in October of 66. The party formed around the basis of what we call all power to the people. That was our rallying cry. All power to the people. The people. You say black people, white people, brown people, all power to the people, period. Okay? And if you just put in all, you Google that, you'll see Black Panther Party come up. We had what was called a 10-point program and political platform. Very basic. We don't, you know, we were very simple but deep instead of being like these jerks today, complex and very shallow. We kept it very clear. The 10-point program dealt with issues of food, shelter, clothing, medical care, everyday issues that we're still having to deal with today. And I don't care what your color or gender is, we still have to deal with them today. And the 10-point program consisted of what we want, what we believe. What we believe, what we want. Those are the two segments throughout the 10-point program. And this is why people responded. People responded because it was so clear. It was so simple. And, of course, unfortunately, so did the government respond. Brutally.
Yeah. J. Edgar Hoover said the Black Panther Party was the greatest threat to the internal security of the country, was his quote.
That's right. And, and you know, now talk about insanity. Since when is food, housing, shelter, clothing, education, if that's a threat to the internal security of this country, then brothers and sisters, we better look at what internal security really means. You know, we better give that some thought. Even today, we better give that some thought. You know, so the 10-point program is what Huey P. Newton, who I was very fortunate to know fairly well, and Bobby Seale actually sat down and wrote, clear, simple fashion. We had free breakfast programs. Yes, free breakfast programs nationally. We had free shoe programs. We had free clothing programs. All of these are national programs, okay? We had free medical programs where we set up clinics. And so you don't have the money to pay? Who cares? Come on, we need your medical needs need to be taken care of. And by the way, you didn't have to be black.
Yeah, I was going to say that was people of all color.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's right. And that's another thing that the media did was they disfigured and distorted party.
Yeah.
Okay? So people, you say Black Panther, they go, they hate those white people. Right? But they've been programmed by the corporate stream media to believe that nonsense, to believe those lies. You know, but the party, as I said, strongly believed in our rallying cry, all power to the people. To this very day, even though the party was ultimately decimated, the legacy of the party, and it was decimated, of course, thanks to the United States government, just horrible activities that they engaged in. But even though the party was decimated physically, its legacy is incredibly strong even today, which is, of course, why they had to get somebody like, you know, Barack Obama to redirect the attention from the real struggle of everyday, ordinary people. So now you got people running around, oh, he black, talking about Obama. Well, you know, the reality is what he is a murderer. What he is a conjurer. You know, what he is a Trojan horse. But see, back in the day with the party, with the Black Panther Party, things were far clearer. But I have a feeling that things are still going to become even clearer as long as we unite and have our differences. That's fine. If we don't have differences, somebody's lying. But we're going to have our differences in the closet, and we're going to come out as a united front of people of all colors.
That's right.
I hope I answered it.
No, absolutely. No, it's great to hear you speak out. And I'm curious as well, what happened to the old crew? I mean, you guys ever get together? Are there reunions? Do you ever hang out, have a beer, talk politics?
All the time, my brother, all the time. I stay in touch with at least three or four party veterans on a regular basis. Sister Q and Yasha, who's in the Bay Area, you know, San Francisco, Oakland Bay Area. Brother BJ, Billy X Jennings. Who's also in the Sacramento and California and Oakland area, Brother Gerald, who's also in Oakland. I mean, I could name Robert King Wilkerson, who is one of the Angola Three, was imprisoned for my God, 3 decades. Jeez. Finally was, yes, he also was a party member, but I stay in touch. We stay in touch with each other. Oh, yes, on a regular basis. Well, I mean, this we go on. The struggle goes on.
I was just going to say that, you know, the struggle continues, so it's good to know that you guys are still hanging out. And, you know, when I think of the original Black Panther Party, you know, I think of that the street toughness. You guys had pride, discipline, but you also had, you know, open carry guns, which, you know, you were policing the police, which definitely that needed to be done at that time. It was like a neighborhood watch program, and there was a lot of police brutality going on, and you guys, the brothers on the block is what you used to call it. And tell us about your thoughts on the Second Amendment. I mean, we have a right to defend ourselves, don't we?
I'm glad you put a question mark behind that, because at least constitutionally we do. But if we pay close attention to the way things are coming down, and I don't care whether it's Democrat or Republican, if we pay close attention to what's happening, our constitutional rights have been eroded. Suddenly, anyone who talks about self-defense is viewed as a quote-unquote militant, when they should be viewed as a thinking person saying, wait a minute, who runs this country, the people or the government? Well, then they turn around and, of course, say, well, the people, the government is the people. We all know that's nonsense. The government is General Electric. The government is Goldman Sachs. The government is Lockheed. That's not the people. But in any event, my point is that we are the ones who have to make the Constitution and our common sense, not just the U.S. Constitution, but just our common sense. Let's use our common sense. Let's make it real. I write a column in the Black Commentator called Keeping It Real.
Yep.
Right? So let's keep it real. The reality, and I'm going to mention very quickly as far as the party was concerned, back in the 60s and early 70s, at the time that the party was openly, and I repeat, openly carrying guns, it was quite legal in the state of California where we're doing that, all right? And so what did they do? They turned around, and by they, I mean the government, you know, like, guess what? You can probably already tell me what they did. They passed what's called the Mulford, M-U-L-F-O-R-D, the Mulford Act.
That's right.
And so they quashed that right. How dare you be able to do that? You know, but by that time, even though they did that, we had instilled in the communities, and I say across the nation, with Black, brown, red, white, and yellow people, the will to resist, the will to stand up, the will to say, no, I'm not going to accept this. So if that's what J. Edgar Hoover meant when he said we were the greatest threat to internal security, if that's what he meant, he might have had a point.
Well, I think what's frustrating with me and a lot of people that work here at InfoWars, I'm sure with yourself as well, we all have friends, family members, neighbors who, you know, they're stuck in that left-right paradigm, if you will, and which, as far as I'm concerned, the two-party system, it's a two-party dictatorship, you know.
Right.
And how do we get people to break that matrix and get them to wake it up? That's the best way that you've learned to get them to wake up from this trance-like state and wake up to the realization that the world is not what they think it is?
Well, I like to make people mad, because sometimes that's sometimes that's the only way you can make them think. I don't mind if they get mad at me, but if they get mad at me, what that tells me is, somehow, something that I said must have actually gotten into that brain, and they were thinking about it, and they didn't like it, all right? but that tells me they were at least thinking about it. We all these couch potatoes that we have, all these sheeple, not people, that we have, we have to regain. I write this all the time in IntrepidReport.com and BlackCommentator.com. I say it all the time. We have got to regain our humanity. You are so correct. You know, Darren, you are so correct. This false, fake, fraudulent, left-right paradigm is nothing but a trap. It's a trap, particularly as embodied by the Democrat and Republican Party. It's like, please, wake up, people. This is the same game. They play the same game, so people feel trapped, and they are trapped, because we have allowed ourselves to be trapped. The one thing they do not want, and by they, I mean the corporate stream media and the corporate stream government, the 1% or a little bit that runs this nation. The one thing they do not want us to do, my brother, is they do not want us to get together face to face and communicate. Because Lord knows if we do that, why, we might actually change some things. You know, share our experiences, share what we have gone through. My pain is your pain, and your pain is my pain. And all this liberal left and right-wing nonsense, we need to put that aside.
No, it's divide and conquer, and that's their intent, is to divide and conquer. And, you know, the sooner people realize that, the better, because our nation is in dire straits, man. I mean, we've got to come to the realization that a global corporate elite are basically running the show. They could give a rat's ass who wins the election, because either way, they win.
That's right. And that's what people need to understand. People say to me, well, you're not going to vote for Obama? And I say, well, vote for who? You don't know who Obama is? And I look at them and just shake my head and say, you know what, brother? You know what, sister? Apparently, you must not understand the power of the people. These people, brother, whether it's Mitt Romney, Barack Obama, or Howdy Doody. In fact, let me give Howdy Doody more credit, because he probably does represent the people more than these.
Sure he does, yeah.
You know, but you know, we used to say back in the day, what if they gave a war and nobody came? What if they gave a selection? And I call it a selection because it's not an election. What if they gave a so-called election and nobody came? You know, who was it? Albert Camus, the French philosopher, said, what better way to enslave a man than to give him the vote and tell him he's free? Well, you don't control who gets there. You don't control, when I say there, who the candidate are actually going to be. Why, you don't even see third parties, plural, allowed in the national debate. I mean, what's that about? And by the way, what about the electoral college system that is like a safety net for this corrupt system? What about that? Excuse me, whatever happened to one person, one vote? Whatever happened to that? So we need to be honest with ourselves. It's not overwhelming. It's actually quite simple. If we band together, if we collectively come together and do something about it as a people, and guess what, brothers and sisters? They are going to do everything they can, including agent provocateurs, people to try to set us up, to try to frame us, people to try to kill us. Hey, that's what a government does that fears the people, that it's time for the people to stop fearing the government. It is time for the people to start taking serious action to come together with each other for our common interest. We have far more in common, black, white, brown, red, and yellow, than we have in terms of dissimilarities. Our common interest is what this struggle is all about.
Well, I'm into that. And, you know, you're a terrific speaker. Do you go to any speaking engagements? You know, we're almost out of time, so I also wanted to ask you if you have anything coming up on your website, speaking engagements. What's next for Larry Pinkney?
Larry takes it as it comes. The most recent actual speaking engagement that I had, was at Syracuse University, which was a few months ago last year, College of Law. And we shall see. I certainly will be looking forward to be speaking more with my sisters and brothers of all colors. You dig? And as we say in the party, you dig? You understand? Because this struggle is all of us together. So go to Black Activist Writers Guild. That's blackactivistwg.org. Check us out. Check out the articles. You'll see various pages, and you'll see what I'm up to. But you know what? What I'm up to is what all of us have got to be up to. I'm not in this struggle by myself. I'm in it with you, Darren. I'm in it with our listeners at InfoWars. I'm in it with everybody across the board.
Well, that's right. And we are all in this fight together. And Larry, I can't thank you enough for hanging out with us tonight. I admire your courage. Thank you for having the courage to stand up to COINTELPRO and warning others that it's still happening today. And you know, we all need to recognize that as well. So I sure hope you are willing to come back and join us again sometime in the near future.
Of course, and I thank you, and let me simply say thank you to all my sisters and brothers, all my brothers and sisters out there. All power to the people. All power to the people.
All right, Larry, thank you. All right, folks, there he goes. That was Larry Pinkney, and you know, he's quickly becoming a favorite guest on our show. Our viewers respond well to him, and you know, he's a fascinating character. You know, he's the real deal. You know, it's always fascinating to talk to him, because not only did he take part in one of the most interesting times in history, you know, with the Black Panthers back in the 60s and 70s, but he's a prominent activist today, and who knows, perhaps the, you know, modern times will prove to be the most interesting time of all, if not especially dangerous for political activists. Hey, that's going to do it for tonight's broadcast. I'm Darren McBreen. The InfoWars Nightly News will continue, Lord willing, next Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Until then, I hope all you guys out there have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you back right here on Monday. Good night.